receive that comfort, knowing that we will rise again and be like Jesus. Made like unto, as it says, made like unto his the glorious body of Christ. We are not simply souls. We are soul and body. Remember that in the garden, when God created Adam, what did it say? He took from the dust and he formed and fashioned a body, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul. Soul and body, we are both. Okay. Death is foreign. Death became to this world because of sin. Separation, which death is, separation, is not normal. And yet it is what we face. Every man, woman, child, every one of us face death. Separation of the body from the soul, temporarily, according to Scripture, until Jesus returns. And then we will be resurrected, one and all, to eternal bliss, as it says, or to eternal judgment and destruction from the presence of the Lord, according to our text this morning. So what is that comfort that we have when we stop and we think about the promise that we will rise again? The first thing is, number one, Catechism says, when we die, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're resting in Christ alone for salvation, when you die, you're with the Lord. Paul says, it's actually better. He says, if I had to choose right now between staying here and going home, I want to go home. To die is to be with Christ, which is far better, he says. But it's needful for you at this point in time for me to stay. I have ministries. I have. I'm still being used to help you, and so I'll stay, and I rejoice in that. But that kind of attitude, the understanding that death is only, if you will, a porthole to something better. That's contrary to the world, isn't it? Who fear death, who have wrong ideas about death as well. I will be immediately with Christ, my head, and furthermore, that my body will be raised, reunited with my soul, and I will be made like Jesus. I will be whole. Notice the last statement. It doesn't say eternal life. It says life everlasting. I don't know if you've thought about that. I've been thinking about that lately. Is that idea, I believe in life. That God created life, and that life goes on. The Bible does not teach the cessation of the soul or the cessation of the individual. Contra Jehovah's Witnesses and other heretics that say so, life is eternal. But there is an eternal life that is a horror, an eternal life that is complete blessedness. In the commentary on this catechism question, Ursinus, which was one of those that wrote this, when he speaks, actually the translation is differently. It actually says, I shall inherit perfect salvation or complete salvation. Another way of saying that would be glorification. We look forward to that day, don't we? My son and I were sitting last night and talking about what Scripture says about eye is not seen nor ear is heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the thing which God has prepared for them that love him. And we were trying to say, well, wonder what that is like, even though we know that eye has not seen it or ear has heard it. But we were talking about things like what it would be like to be in a world where there's no sin, no death, no sorrow, no tears, no sadness. Joy inexpressible and full of glory, where we have a purpose and we live that purpose perfectly. To be perfect. I don't know, again, have you ever thought of yourself as perfect? If you think you're perfect, come talk to me, because you're not. Only Jesus is perfect. But there will be a day when you will be perfected. We look forward to that. Notice it says, for as much as I feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, I shall after this life, or I like it this way, I shall after this life assignment here on earth, I will possess complete blessedness, which we cannot even begin to comprehend at this time. Living to praise God. One of the things that we were talking about last night, we were talking about the things that we do here on earth, our equipment, our resources that we will be able to use to praise God forever. Scripture says that the elders took their crowns and cast them before the Lord. Paul talks about receiving crowns. What would be the purpose of those crowns in heaven? According to my understanding, it's to glorify God. It's to take the things that God has given me, even the abilities to work with my hands in eternity will be used. The things that you learn while you're in this life will be used by God in eternity for His glory. Isn't that wonderful to stop and to think, especially as we read the news and we see the craziness that's happening in the world, that we can stop and say, okay, that is true, we're seeing that, whatever the purpose is of God for that, but even beyond, we look forward to that eternal life, or life everlasting. Amen? Amen.